affecting reality.
Your love in truth is meant to bring us into awesome positions, O God, of authority and influence, Lord. And you mean to manifest each one of us as your chosen instruments. And when we stand in those prophetic potentials realized, we will be entirely, O God, your creation. We will be entirely, O God, your workmanship. We will be entirely, O God, an expression of your righteousness. Holy Father, we are grateful. We are grateful for what you have opened to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. What you are opening to us through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. We bow our hearts before you with great gratitude, thanking you so much for him who has become a life-giving spirit to us, Lord. We are so grateful for the provision and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for what you have opened to us in Jesus' name. And we pray that what we receive and what we realize in our prophetic potentials will be manifested in worship of the living God through lives that we live for your glory, which lives that will truly bless, O God, others, O God, because you are the blessing that we have in our hearts. Father, hallowed be thy name, and may we bless you with our life forevermore. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just to get over, put together some basic scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So it tells us two things. That we have something from Jesus Christ that is his spirit. And his spirit is life-giving. His spirit is life-giving. And life is something that we do all the time. We live. And so everything that God has designed for us as life is entirely defined by the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is the spiritual genetic blueprint for you and me in all eternity. It is the only spiritual genetic blueprint that God has given us. There can be no other. That's why the Bible says that our righteousnesses are filthy rags. So whatever we do, it has to be enabled through the Spirit of Christ. That which is not enabled in the Spirit of Christ is not going to be acceptable to God in the abiding sense. I'm not saying that if we do something by our own, God is going to condemn us. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that it will not stand in the abiding. God's criteria for anything in the abiding is going to be that which is manifested in the Spirit of Christ. In order to achieve this, the book of Philippians tells us, Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. The last part of verse 19, Philippians chapter 1 verse 19 tells us, in order for us to realize the fact that Jesus Christ has become to us a life-giving spirit, we are told here that the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ has been made available to us. The provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ has been made available to us. What kind of provision is this? How big is this provision? How humongous is this provision? What is this provision based on? What is its intent? This provision is based on the Word of God. It is based on what the Word of God is designed to achieve in the creation in all eternity. And there are things that God has put in the Word of God that will form the framework for the expression and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So it is your duty and my duty to understand what the Word of God says and how it is the Word of God is going to be manifested in fulfillment. Because if we don't understand it, then we will not realize what God is giving us and has made available to us in the Spirit of Christ. God is not going to make the Spirit of Christ alive to us based on our emotions, based on our whims and fancies, based on what we think is a great idea. He's not going to honor that with the Spirit of Christ. But He will manifest everything that flows from Him in the enabling power of the Spirit of Christ. And the supply of the Spirit of Christ is so that we will be enabled to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So in the new covenant, God is not asking us to live by the practice of a law. He's asking us to live in the enabling power of the Spirit of Christ. If you live by the law, you will deny Christ. I will repeat that again. If you try to live by the law, you will deny Christ. Because you will never see the fulfillment of the law in your own efforts. You will never see the fulfillment of the law in your own efforts, in your own strengths. You're only going to realize the fulfillment of the law through the enabling that comes through the Spirit of Christ. This is what the new covenant is based on. The new covenant is based on the righteousness of God. So he says here, for Christ is the end of the law. That doesn't mean there is no law. It doesn't mean God has rejected his law. But what it means is that God is saying that this law can only be brought to fulfillment through the Spirit of Christ. God has to work the Spirit of Christ into you. And you have to choose to live through that Spirit of Christ to realize what God has given in the fulfillment of the law. Okay? So, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Who believes? So, what do you believe in? You believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. On what basis is He Lord? On the basis of salvation, on the basis of the righteousness of God, on the basis of the finished work of the cross, on the basis that God has completed us in Jesus Christ. He has not completed us anywhere else. So, the first point I want to make this morning is this. You need to put on Christ. And you can only put on Christ by receiving and realizing of His Spirit. You need to ask that God will make the Spirit of Christ manifest to you. That you will not understand something or realize something that is not defined in the Spirit of Christ. That's why Rhema word is expressed in the Spirit and life of Jesus. My words, my Rhema to you are Spirit and life. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. My words to you are Spirit and life. My words to you are Spirit and life. So His words bring to us His Spirit. That's why faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Rhema of God. That is in the King James Bible. If you read the New American Standard or you read any of the other translations, you will find it says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So the word of God finds expression to us in the word of Christ through the Spirit of Christ. It is the Spirit of Christ that is the defining characteristic in God's word that makes it God's word inside of you. So God's word is not communicated intellectually. God's word is communicated in the Spirit and life of Jesus. In Luke chapter 21, verse 33, Jesus says, "My words to you will stand forever. My words are indestructible." In that statement, he is equating his words with the word of God, because the word of God is indestructible. But Jesus is making a dramatic statement. The communication of God's word comes to you through my words, and my words are indestructible. And those words are communicated to us in the spirit and life of Jesus. And the intent of communicating the word of God to you in the spirit and Christ of Jesus, spirit and life of Jesus, is so that the spirit of Christ will define every function within you. Now, this is why I believe that the gift of tongues is the most powerful of all the gifts God has given us, because you can energize the spirit dimension of the word inside of you in tongues. The principal reason why we pray in tongues is to realize what is hidden in the mystery of Christ. Of course, you can use tongues for all kinds of funny things. You can use tongues to energize your own spirit man too. You can use tongues to energize whatever carnal desires you have. If you use tongues like that, you will open the occult and you will be destroyed with the occult. And that's one of the reasons why so many supposedly spirit baptized people have gone off on the deep end, opening the wrong doors, receiving the wrong spirit. But tongues are meant to be operated in the word of God. They are meant to be operated to the realization of the spirit and life of Jesus, the faith and love of Jesus, the character and nature of Jesus, the witness and testimony of Jesus. So something becomes a revelation and an enabling inside of you when it is open to you in the spirit of Christ. So use your tongues judiciously. Use your tongues carefully. Don't simply use your tongues in your whims and your fancies. So many Pentecostals do that. So many charismatics do that. God didn't give you the gift of tongues to do your own thing. If you insist on doing your own thing, you will open occult doors. But if you use it to discover and unveil the word of God, if you use it to apply the word of God through the gifts that God has given you and all of the other gifts, then you will realize the wealth of God's heart flow through those tongues, and you will realize how much God has given you in the mystery of Christ. You pray in a tongue, you pray in the mystery. The principal mystery we are called to unveil is the mystery of Christ. There are many elements to the mystery of Christ. The mystery of the Father's will is an element of this mystery of Christ. The mystery of faith is an element of the mystery of Christ. The mystery of the gospel is an element of the mystery of Christ. The mystery of godliness is an element of the mystery of Christ. The mysteries of the kingdom are an element of the mystery of Christ. And Christ is the key to unveiling the mysteries of God. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. First, you must become a servant of Christ. To become a servant of Christ, you have to unveil the mystery of Christ. Once you have become a servant of Christ, then you have access to becoming a steward of the mysteries of God. Mysteries simply mean the hidden things. The hidden things of God. The hidden things of God are only open to you through Christ. They're not open to you because of an anointing. They're only open to you through Christ. Very important that you understand this. Let's confirm this. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 15. This is Jesus Christ speaking. And this is what he says, All things that the Father has are mine. They are mine. He is the owner of it. You cannot be the owner of it. You can only be a steward of it, provided you receive it in His name. Therefore, I said that He takes of mine, that is, the Holy Spirit takes of mine, and will disclose it to you. Now, how will it be disclosed to you? Through the Spirit of Christ. The defining factor in anything God brings to you is the Spirit of Christ. The defining factor of anything that God brings to you is the Spirit of Christ. So the prophetic word in the abiding, the prophetic word that stands the test of time, the prophetic word that God will take and develop in each one of our lives forever and forever and forever, is entirely defined in the Spirit of Christ. It is not defined in a theology. It is not defined in a doctrine. It is not defined in anything else except the Spirit of Christ. Do you understand that? You don't receive it in the, you don't have the blueprint of the Spirit of Christ manifested for something. That thing will not be open to you in the true sense of the word. That's why Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Truth is described in the spirit and life of Jesus. All right? So important for you to understand this, okay? So important for you to understand this. That's why I keep repeating things that are so important for you to understand, that we have to build things in Christ Jesus. There are no shortcuts. Now, we are intelligent people. If we put our minds together, we can come up with a host of things that sound like a good idea. If we have a brainstorming session and we put down our ideas together, we can come with a host of other things. Host of good ideas that seemingly are good ideas, but that which is not defined in the Spirit of Christ is not a good idea. But what opens to us in the Spirit of Christ is awesome. Let me read to you another verse, all right? Romans chapter 15. Verse 18. This is Paul writing. For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. Now, what Christ has accomplished through him is entirely based on what is defined in the Spirit of Christ within him, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit. So listen very carefully to what we are saying today, because it's very important. Now we can pray for a long time, we can fast for many days. And so often in the Christian church we have made prayer and fasting as ends in themselves, just as we have made reading the scriptures an end in themselves. If we do not realize something that is of the Spirit of Christ, we are doing nothing really. We're just making a big song and a dance. It's like dancing a war dance and nothing is being done. We are no longer under the law. Whenever we think we can do something because we think it is the right thing, it's not what it's going to be about. We have to do something because God says it is the right thing. Now, the prophetic word is tied to the Spirit of Christ. You must understand this. That's why if you take the whole Old Testament and assume there was no New Testament, you will find that every abiding prophecy in the Old Testament will never be fulfilled. It cannot be fulfilled. That's why if you read the Old Testament as a book in itself, it tells you a lot of things that have got lots of promise, but it goes nowhere. It goes nowhere. The new covenant comes and God opens everything in fulfillment to us based on this one ingredient called the Spirit of Christ. And the moment you understand this, then you understand that the prophetic word is like this. Let's turn to 2 Peter 1:19. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And so we have, verse 19, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. Pay attention to that word that God has put in your heart. From a lamp, it will become a morning star. What's the comparison like? It's like taking your kerosene lamp and comparing it to the sun. And God is saying that the light of that kerosene lamp can become like the light of the sun. That is what is contained in the prophetic word. Do you understand? That is what is contained in this spiritual genetic blueprint that is the Spirit of Christ. That kind of potential. That kind of potential. That's why you and I can become sons of God. You and I will never become sons of God. It was going to be based on what you and I can do, what you and I can pray, how much of the Bible we can understand, how much we can put together a worship session or whatever else. It's not based on things like that. It is based on what God can bring into you, engineered in the Spirit of Christ and brought to life by the Holy Spirit in accordance with the Father's will. In that reality, you have tremendous promise. To realize that reality, God gave you tongues, because this one your head cannot understand. You don't have the intelligence. I don't have the intelligence either. Paul doesn't have the intelligence either. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 13. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. All things become visible when they are exposed by the light. You notice that he never said by light. He says by the light. All things, good or evil, will be exposed, will become visible. You will discern right from wrong, good from evil, when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. Jesus describes darkness, right? Evil as the light of darkness. Keep your finger here. Ephesians, we'll come back to it. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 22 and verse 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? So there is a light of darkness. But the true light will expose it. So let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 5. All things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. Whether it's the light of darkness or it's the true light of God, the light of life. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is the basis for the unveiling of that morning star. Christ will shine on you. Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory is the manifestation of light. How do you get this light? That's why you pray in tongues. You get into it by the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, it is the Holy Spirit who will take of mine and disclose it to you. John chapter 16 verse 14. It is the Holy Spirit who will take of mine and disclose it to you. That's why in the Palm Court sessions, I'm talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. Because I know everyone who comes there knows the Bible. That's not the problem. The problem is that we are not opened to what the Spirit of God is doing. We can talk about Jesus Christ, but to unveil Jesus Christ, that is the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. To really know what is contained in Jesus Christ for you and me, that is something that is entirely the work of the Holy Spirit. I say entirely. Entirely the work of the Holy Spirit. If you really want to grow, if you really want to see yourself, get hold of those things that will make you the head and not the tail, make you above and not beneath, then everything has to be defined in Jesus Christ. It's not hard to get those things. It will only take time. So he says, arise, sleeper, for Christ has risen on you. This Christ rising on you is what Malachi prophesied. This is what he prophesied. Malachi chapter 4. Or rather Malachi chapter 3. One of those chapters. Malachi, the last chapter of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4. But for you who fear my name. Verse 2. Malachi chapter 4 verse 2. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. And you will tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the sole of your feet. On that day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth. This is the prophetic word. The Son of Righteousness is Christ rising upon you. Christ manifesting that light that comes out of His Spirit. His Spirit carries the light. When that light is exposed in revelation by the Holy Spirit, it becomes light. And that Son of Righteousness will bring healing into you. That healing involves transformation and change. See, God is presenting to you a very simple picture. Have you seen the sun rising every morning? How hard do you work to make the sun rise every morning? I mean, do you run 5 miles to make sure that the sun will rise tomorrow morning? Do you fast and pray 40 days and 40 nights, O Lord, so that the sun will rise tomorrow morning? The sun rises effortlessly. God is telling you a spiritual picture. That's how Jesus Christ will rise in your hearts. That's how Jesus Christ will rise in your hearts. Arise from your sleep and open your eyes and see. See the King of Kings. See what He has done on the cross. Put on the new self. Pray it in. And the reality will come. You're no longer under the law. You are under fulfillment of the law. In the fulfillment of the law, the power of God is at work. Do you realize that when light shines, there is power that is released? In the Bible, every word in the Bible has the intent of manifesting some measure of light. Wisdom manifests its peculiar light. Knowledge manifests its peculiar light. Strength manifests its peculiar light. Understanding manifests its peculiar light. Righteousness manifests its peculiar light. Inside that light, just as a light bulb, for a light bulb to shine, there has to be a manifestation of power. That power is inside the Word. Do you understand that? That power is inside the Spirit of Christ. All you have to do is see. That's why faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you hear and when you understand, you receive light. Because understanding is like a light bulb going alive inside of you. It's like a light bulb being lighted in your heart. It's like a light bulb being lighted in your mind. And when something you understand, the light is opened. That light is opened in the faith of God. Something begins. How were you born again? The seed of Christ was planted. The seed of Christ was planted in whose faith? On the basis of the faith of God. How many changes did you realize? What the law could not do was manifested in you in an instant. And how many things in your life changed? How much power was released? God gave you a prophetic picture. That picture of being born again is the picture of how you're going to grow forever and ever. That's how the lamp is going to become a morning star. You cannot conceive it with your head. How absurd it is for a lamp to become a morning star. That's nonsense. How much must be manifested into that light of that lamp to make it a morning star? So where is that light going to come from? That light comes out of the power that God has invested in the Spirit of Christ. So the key to releasing this power is called the Spirit of Holiness. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Concerning his son, who is Jesus Christ, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power, right? The key word there is with power, by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of Holiness. That Spirit of Holiness is not the Holy Spirit. That Spirit of Holiness is a description of the Spirit of Christ. And it's telling you that if you are willing to be set apart unto God through the realization of the Spirit of Christ in holiness, you will release this power. If in your heart you have a witness that says, Lord, I want to belong to you. And if that confession that rises from your heart is manifested in the true and faithful witness, God will release the power to bring it forth. That's what it's based on. It's not based on works. Yes, you have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But it's not based on works. It is based on what is released to you by the power of God. Do you understand that? There is nothing, you know, there is nothing that human science can produce that can turn a lamp into a morning star. Because the energy in the sun is immensely greater than any form of energy put together that we have on planet Earth. Am I right? See, God, when he says, gives you pictures in the Bible, he's not simply giving you some nice storytelling. When he took Father Abraham out and he said, your descendants will be like the stars, he was not being poetic. He was being prophetic. He was saying that you will shine like this. Your descendants will shine like that. Now, if you take today, if you take those amazing photographs of the galaxy, and you see all the stars shining, it looks a magnificent picture, isn't it? Hello? Abraham didn't see that. I don't think he saw that. Maybe God showed him that. Who knows? Right. But it is a magnificent picture. Individually, those stars mean nothing. Collectively, those stars are brilliant, isn't it? Yeah? Magnificent. There is no way you can design anything more beautiful than that. You can stand and look at those pictures and you keep looking at them because you're amazed that it looks like that. God is giving you a spiritual picture of the body of Christ. Why don't you want to be a Christian? Huh? Why do you insist on doing things your way? Where has it taken you all your life? Huh? Why do you insist on doing things your way? Where is it going to take you? Come on, guys, it's time for us to grow up. Arise, sleeper, and let Christ rise on you. Let his life come forth. Let his light come forth. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will have the light of life. The light of life. Where does that light come from? It comes out of his spirit to enable the life. Amen. That light is shining in a power. And that power is exceedingly great. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Prophetic word again. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Sorry about that. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. In the middle of verse 3, it talks something about Jesus Christ that we need to understand. Something that is tied to the mystery of Christ. And it says that Jesus Christ upholds all things by the rhema of his power. All things, guys. All things that the scripture talks about. All things from past, present, and future. All things that God has designed for the unveiling over your life and my life. It is there in the Rhema word. It is defined in his spirit. And it has a power associated with it. Are you listening? It has a power associated with this. We are talking about God. We are not talking about yourself. That's why some of you are going to sleep. Do you not know God is much bigger than you? Aren't you tired of living life in your own strength? I am sick of it. So God is telling you something. He's saying the entire word contains a power so that all things will be fulfilled. And he's talking about eternity, guys. You know how big eternity is? Hello. The prophetic word in the Bible stretches into eternity. And God is talking about the availability of a power that can work things into eternity. Are you listening? And that power is locked up in the Spirit of Christ. Amen. Just like if you can release the power in an atom, you can create havoc, isn't it? Hello. It's a scientific fact, right? That's why they're trying to try and harness the atom, isn't it? Because the amazing power that is inside of it. God is talking about the seed of Christ. How much more powerful is that? And that seed of Christ has been planted inside of you. For what purpose? So that it can grow. Grow into what? Become the tree of life inside of you. So that what? So that you will become a morning star. Sons of the living God. Isn't that exciting? I find that thrilling. That God would take a turkey like me and make me fly like an eagle. And that doesn't mean like the real picture. He takes a chicken like me that was hunting for worms and thinking I was making a success of myself every time I found a fat worm. And he's taught me how to soar like an eagle. And, I mean, he's teaching me how to soar like an eagle. I'm still flapping around, but you know. But he's at work. Thank God he has not given up. Aren't you excited about it? I am. Very excited about it. So that power. Now this is the clincher, right? Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. The definitive point there is that there is a power meant to work within you. There are two parts. First, there is the power. That power is inside of you. The second part is to get that power to work. Now, the Greek word for that works is called energio. The same Greek word, keep your finger on Ephesians. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 6. And there are varieties of effects. That's what the New American Standard says. If you have an old King James Bible, it says, there are varieties of operations. but the same God who works all things in all persons. Right? Now the Greek word for works there and the Greek word that we just read in Ephesians 3:20 is the same Greek word energeo. Now in the Amplified Bible, they translate that word works into inspire and energize. They give you two words for it. Inspire and energize. Now this is how the power within that God has got in the Word that is in the Spirit of Christ can be released. It is released in inspiration and it is released as an energization. Inspiration results in revelation. Energization makes that revelation into reality. Are you listening? Tongues are designed to do that, release the revelation. Your walk with the Lord is meant to realize what God has released. So the power is there. The power is inscribed in the Spirit of Christ. That power is meant to be released through inspiration. What happens when you have the inspiration? That verse says, if you ask, God will do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you ask or think. When you receive that inspiration, ask. Ask the Lord to bring that inspiration to pass in your life. And God will then, right, answer that request. He will do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you ask or even think. He will do beyond what you ask. Because what God is talking about in His Word is beyond what you understand and what you can ask. That power is there. That power is locked to the Spirit of Christ. Many people think that resurrection power is a standalone. No, resurrection power is locked into the Spirit of Christ. That's why Jesus Christ was raised up from the dead and His Spirit was declared to be the Spirit of holiness. He was raised up from the dead with power. That power is tied to His Spirit. So if you want to realize this dunamis power working inside of you, then Jesus Christ must become preeminent in your heart. So in your prayer life, you need to ask God to make Jesus preeminent in your heart, to remove those things that stand as a hindrance to Him becoming preeminent in your thought processes, in your desires, in your subconscious and unconscious. Are you with me? And if you ask God to do that, He will do that. Of course, it will take time because a lot of things inside of us exist because we want them to exist. They are there because we want them to be there. Because we think they are necessary. There's a part of us that thinks they are necessary. For example, if your child flunks his exams, you will not go on a 40-day fast asking God to release the Spirit of Christ into him. You will say, what's the latest and greatest tuition teacher, isn't it? So what do you believe in? You have far more faith in the tuition teacher than you have in the Spirit of the Lord. But the Spirit of the Lord is designed to make you the head and not the tail. Daniel had an extraordinary spirit. Pharaoh told Joseph, Joseph has a divine spirit. We all have the divine spirit and we go after the spirit of the world. Have any problem? What is our answer? We will go to the world. And then we ask, oh God, where are you? We have the cheek to ask, oh God, where are you? Am I right? All of us are guilty. Don't tell me you are not. I am also. Learning a bit slowly, but you know, sometimes it's hard to learn. It's amazing what we believe in, isn't it? Although we know it will not stand the test of time, we still believe in it.
Isn't that amazing? The moment something goes wrong, our first response is to run to the world. But God's answer is that I've given you everything that you can possibly need in all eternity in the Spirit of Christ. What are you doing with my son? And we have many answers. Some of our answers say, oh God, I'm not good enough. And God is saying, when did I ask you to be good enough? Didn't I say that I will save you? Isn't the name of Jesus tell you that I will save you? Yeshua means Yahweh saves. Did it say that you must save yourself? But we are still saving ourselves, isn't it? You go into a Bible school and listen to what they teach. You go into a sermon in any church anywhere on planet Earth, and 90% of what they talk about is about you saving yourself. Hello? Go back and listen to what you think and believe in. Yes. Pick up 90% of the books in that library there, and you will find that sort of thinking inside of it. They will always put the focus on man. Go and read it. Take any book. That's why the church has been going around in circles, because our focus is on what we can do. Oh brother, you must pray more. Oh brother, you must fast more. Carry on fasting and praying. We will just mention you need more of Jesus, but it'll be one line, and then the 90% of the book is about how you can do it. Just pick it up and read it. That's why we're going round and round the wilderness, right? Finding our way. Jesus said, I am the way. How much more clearer has it got to be? So you've got to energize it. You've got to energize it inside of your heart. You've got to energize it, and you've got to ask the right things. You've got to seek the right things. Exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you ask or even think. Jesus said, anything you ask, it will be done for you. It will be given to you. Anything you seek, you will receive. Anything you knock the door for, the door is the name of God. I am the door. If you knock that door, it will be open to you. He didn't say it may be open to you. But obviously he said you must ask by the Spirit, because then he says, ask for the Holy Spirit first. So if you and I have the potential to receive answers for everything we ask, everything we seek, and everything we knock, why are we still chickens chasing for the worm? Why is the world laughing at us? Thinking that we are a bunch of yo-yos who don't know whether we are coming or we are going. Why are they laughing at us? Because what we say and what we do are two different things. Tragic? Very tragic. So use your tongues and do the work of the Lord. Walk into it. What God releases to you in the Spirit of Christ has to be perfected inside of you. What is it perfected to become? It is perfected to enable you to do what you can't do. The check that you are walking and realizing of the Spirit of Christ, if you are doing things that you can't do, to go after it. I'm not saying you don't have to go out and earn your bread in your own strength. If you do not know any better way, that's the only way you can. But open your heart and look for the other way, the way that's from above. Yes, by all means, go and get a tuition teacher for your son. But for heaven's sake, look beyond the tuition teacher.
Grow in the Lord. Lay your hand upon him. Teach him other things. Teach him to be dependent on God and not dependent on another man. Then he will be strong. If he is built on the rock of the revelation of Christ. Why is it the revelation of Christ? Why is Christ the rock that is higher than I? Because of the spirit component of what comes to us in Christ. His spirit. That divine spirit. That extraordinary spirit. Arise, sleeper. Arise, sleeper, and let Christ shine. Let Christ shine. Amen. Let's turn to John chapter 1. Verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born, the last two words, of God. Leave out the intermediate parts because that's talking about flesh and blood and all that. Kind of mucks up the whole thing. But what it's telling is, you were born of God. Every one of us here, sitting here, is born of God. We are children of God. God has given us a right. Like any right, you have to exercise the right. Otherwise, it doesn't mean a blooming thing. We are not exercising our rights. To exercise your rights, you have to exercise them in Christ. Because those rights exist in Christ. To all who have received. As many as received him, to them he gave the right. The Greek word there is exousia, which also means authority. The right and the authority to become children of God. So when was the last time you stood with authority and said, Lord, I am a son. You need to anoint me. You need to build me. You need to mold me. You need to shape me. You need to enable me. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to do what you want me to do. Claim it. Exercise it. Where do you exercise it? You exercise it first in prayer. Listen to how you pray. It'll tell you volumes about what you believe. Do you pray in the understanding that God, Christ has done for you something? Or do you go with a begging bowl? Oh God, are you listening to me? Are you there, Lord? What does that say? That says you don't understand what Jesus Christ has done for you. There's no question about whether God is able to hear you. Absolutely none. Why? Because you're covered under the blood of the Lamb. It is not a magical covering, guys. It's a reality. You have access to God at any time. Even when you have sinned. That's the meaning of the sin offering and that's the meaning of the guilt offering. Where did they bring that guilt offering? That guilt offering was based on deliberate, premeditated sin. Where was the offering made? It was made in the temple. Go back and read the scriptures again in the book of Leviticus. It tells you that it came out as a soothing aroma before God. Jesus has fulfilled that. Go back and read Isaiah 53. That one of those words that has been written there in one of those verses is that he died for our transgressions. Transgression is deliberate sin. But we listen to the devil, oh my goodness, I am terrible, Lord. We spend all the time condemning ourselves. Who are you listening to? You're listening to the accuser. And he's telling you, you are a rat. And you're saying, amen, I'm a rat, I'm a rat, I'm a rat. Go and be like a rat then. Since you believe so fervently, you are a rat. Move the cheese. Who moved the cheese? A bloke who writes a book like that sells by the millions. Why? Because so many people believe they are rats after the cheese. Tell them they are sons of God and they ain't listening. They even argue about that. Tragic, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Purpose-driven life. Without the Spirit of Christ, there is no definition for purpose. Every ingredient of the abiding is defined in the Spirit of Christ. So Jesus Christ became to us a life-giving Spirit. Don't you ever forget that. Because if you forget that, you will perish. Your growth will come to a standstill and you will go around the wilderness. The Sun of Righteousness rises with healing in its wings. The Sun of Righteousness is manifested out of the Spirit of Christ. That Sun of Righteousness is able to heal you, able to restore you, able to deliver you. Where are you looking? Most of us are looking at the problem. We're meditating on the problem. We are blaming ourselves. We are condemning ourselves. You don't even understand the basics of what Jesus did for you on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So you have done something wrong. Recognize it and move on from there. Go before the Lord. Energize your repentance by the Spirit and get out of it. Get out of it. That's why God gave you tongues, to get out of your sin. To be able to energize the peace, the shalom that brings the victory of Jesus Christ experientially inside of you and expunges your sin. And you can feel it, guys. Think. It's not hard to reach God. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for the spirit of excellence that you have given us, entirely defined in the Son. The spirit of holiness that you have made available to us so that we can realize the power that you have inscribed in the Spirit of Christ. That genetic blueprint of spirituality, Lord, that is meant to define each one of us before you. For we are each an epistle of Christ. And that tells us volumes, Lord, that this epistle is entirely written and configured in His Spirit. This epistle is meant to unveil us as ministers of the new covenant, a covenant that you have described into our hearts, defining every statute of that covenant, every article of that covenant, every reality of that covenant, every anointing of that covenant, every gifting of that covenant, entirely in the Spirit of Christ. Oh God, may we hear you and may we understand that Jesus Christ is meant to fill all in all. His fullness we have all received. Oh God, when will we hear that we have all received, that this is your highest and most perfect will that we receive of the fullness of Jesus Christ, so that grace and truth can be released into us as a growing realization. Oh God, open our hearts that we will hear. Open our hearts that we will receive and realize all that has been bequeathed to us in the wealth that is called the Spirit of Christ. The wealth of your heart. The wealth that stands in eternity. The wealth that is indestructible. The wealth that is the true prosperity that the Bible speaks of, Lord. The wealth that will enable us to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Bless the church that we will hear. Bless the church that we will receive of Jesus Christ. Let us not take our eyes off Jesus and replace him with other things, Lord. May we truly realize all things through Christ who strengthens us. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.